Hello, welcome to another episode of the Walk the Line podcast, hosted by myself, Ryan. Thanks for joining us again. Guys, the Facebook group, the Walk the Line podcast community group, is now up and running. We are getting a lot of people joining it. Please, if you want to join it, type in the Walk the Line podcast community. Come join it. We've got some good people on there. We're having some fun. And this week I'll be doing a free giveaway because I'm such a nice guy like that, you see. But anyway, to more important things, today my guest is Rebecca Weaver. Rebecca is doing something quite cool, really, to be fair. She's and realised the pandemic has shut down the hospitality industry, and the pubs around about the UK are literally like closing like three a day in some places, in some areas. So she's really kind of wants to give back and highlight what is actually happening. So what she's done, she's really quite cool. To do her bit, Rebecca, in a camper van, which is nicknamed Hank, and a dog, Marvin, is now touring the country, visiting 150 pubs over the course of 12 months. She's recording a journey on a YouTube channel, which will be in the description. Please check it out. It's really cool. And we have a good chat on this, this episode. To be honest, we chat about a number of different subjects and obviously what she's been up to and what is she actually doing and how she actually accomplished this over the pandemic and what's been happening. So guys, check it out. So without further ado, please welcome Rebecca Weaver. And we're live. We have got Rebecca with us today. How you doing, Rebecca? You all right?
I'm very well, and yourself?
Not too bad at all. Summer is nearly here. We've just been previously, we were just chatting about gardening there. I don't know if you guys are watching this on YouTube, you can see behind me, the garden is horrendous. And I got told off because my garden's that bad. So sorry about that.
Yeah, it's a mess.
It's horrible. But Rebecca, you've been on. I'm really interested to have you on, to be fair. I've had obviously doing the research and bits and pieces about you and the cause that you're doing right now. It's a close call to my heart as much as it is yourself, because I'm a young lad. I like going to pubs and I like the hospitality industry. But I really want to kind of get to grips with how this has been working out and how this has been kind of how this started and all that sort of stuff. So, Rebecca, explain to the audience at the minute what you're currently actually doing at the minute and
right,
how it started.
Right now I'm on hold because I'm currently in my hometown of Nottingham, taking a break, helping out one of my good friends that I used to go to school with. Her daughter's disabled. She's got a grassy garden that I've asked for the community support, who's donated slabs, and I've got rotary hires and stuff, and I'm actually repaving her garden. Now, I'm not a gardener, which the rotavator told me 2 days ago when I've got a big bruise on my leg from where it tried to reverse into me. I am now a master of the rotavator, though. Give me 2 days, I've mastered it. That garden's been dug up. It's looking proper, ready to get all the sand on and put the slabs on. So, you know, at the end of the day, Amelia's been stuck in the house for over a year with COVID, and I want her to enjoy the garden. So we're getting it all looking nice. It's going to be solar powered lights everywhere. Wow. It's going to be a sensory garden for her so she can go out and play. But when I leave here, I'm planning on going up to the Lake District for a little while and spend some time with a friend of mine. And then I'm looking at planning my pub tour again, ready for October to start to do the NC 500 and the pubs around the coastal road of Scotland.
Nice. I've always do you know something about the NC 500? I've always wanted to do that. And I've never had a chance to do it. It's on the bucket list. So, I mean, whereabouts have you been so far? Because you did start it last year. Then yes. It was such bad timing as well with COVID hitting. Because I can imagine this is something you don't just plan in a night. It's something that has a lot of planning involved, a lot of
admin. It took me 8 months. It took me 8 months to plan 150 pubs in 12 months going around England, Scotland and Wales. And I got up to the 15th pub, and that's when lockdown two happened. So I went and stayed back on site of one of the pubs that I was going to film. Then they said that they could only have food with meals. So I came back to spend some time with my folks, and then lockdown. And then I managed to do three more pubs before Christmas. And unfortunately, lockdown three was happening. So there's going to be some ummers and some ahs when I say this, and I apologize if I piss anyone off, but I did manage to leave the country and I spent 2 months in Europe having a bit of time out. Well, the reason, so let me go back. Let me take you back, way back. And so my previous partner and I, we had an American Chevy van called Hank the Yank, and we had planned to tour around Europe doing my radio show on the road. Unfortunately, he was involved in a motorbike collision and he lost his life. And I was kind of like, you know, I built this up to do together. Where do I go? You know, I was broken. He was my soulmate. And I just didn't know what to do. And the other problem is Hank the Yank was over 3.5 ton. And on my license, I can't drive him. Oh, so yeah. I sold him to a friend of mine. So I still see him. So, and I bought another one, which I called Hank Jr. in honor of Hank the Yank. And I renovated him. I put new solar panels on. I redecorated him. I put new flooring in. I put new fuse boxes in. I put three leisure batteries in. It's kitted out to be on the road. But I knew that I couldn't do this on my own. So hence where my dog Marvin came in. Now, Marvin is a little girl beagle. She was going to be called, my TV keeps saying I want to come on. I knew I couldn't be on my own on the road. So she came along with me, and that's where A Motorhome Life of Hank and Marvin came about. Now, I used to have a nightclub when I lived in Devon. I did my hospitality management degree in Devon, and I've always liked the pub scene. I mean, I've moved around a bit, and my dad always said to me, if you want to meet new people, you've got two options. You either go to your local church or go to your local pub, and I'm certainly not religious. Well, I might be religious at the end of the night when I've had too many beers and I'm visiting the porcelain god, but that's about as far as my religion goes. So I've always had that love for pubs. I love community pubs and the importance to what they are for the local area that they're in. And I just had this idea. I had an idea for a TV pilot. So one of the TV companies said, film three pubs and send them back to us. And I did my first three ones, which were the Jolly Sailor, the Bricklayer's Arms and the Ship Inn. And they're all around Essex area. And I tell you what, I absolutely loved it. And the idea that I got from that was to film a couple of beers, a local dish, and then get the dog out for the day and have a walk around the local area. And the format just worked. Yeah. So I then bought the name Pub Stop UK and thought to myself, you know, I've got the full rights and nobody listening out there can copy me. about how cool would it be to create an online directory of videos for pubs? Because nobody's done it. And I'm going to say again, I have all the rights. You can't do it. And that's where Pub Stop UK came about. And I thought, right, I tried to go for a Guinness World Record, visiting 150 pubs around England and Scotland and Wales in 12 months. That's filming three pubs a week. And do you know the amount of people that said, oh, I can visit a pub a night? Well, you're not drinking every night. You're not filming every night and then editing and putting it all together. And I'll tell you what, it was so way too much. I realized that I took on far more than I could chew. Really? So when the second wave hit, I was kind of okay that I was able to take some time out and reassess it. But then my passion for what I want to do for the future, it was never going to change. I'm still going to do it. And I just think, what a great idea, going out in a motorhome, living life on the road with my dog, drinking beer, eating food, filming pubs. If Carlin could make jobs, it would be what I want to do. So, or Carlsberg, should I say?
Carlsberg. Yeah, I'm not going to lie to you. That sounds like the perfect life for me. So I'd love to do that. That sounds like...
Well, if you can edit videos, you can come along, because that's the work. That's the bane of my life, editing.
Do you know what? That's the only thing I hate doing as well. Everyone's... I hate doing it. When I do this podcast, I always speak to people and like guests and stuff. And I always like to say to them, I don't edit my podcast just for the sole reason, because I like to... Well, there's two reasons I use. The official reason I like to use is, oh, it's because I like the free-flowing conversation. It's authentic. If I edit it up too much, it's not going to feel robotic. That's the professional way I always reason. But the real reason is I can't be asked editing. I fucking hate it. I don't want to be sitting there doing the podcast and then re-listen to myself again and then keep stopping and starting. I'll hate my own voice as much as it is anyway. Everyone does. I just can't do it. I cringe. So
you've got a great voice. Perfect for radio.
Yeah, a lot of people say that, but it's a perfect face for radio more than anything else. but that's the thing. It's when you're doing stuff like that, that the challenges you do face with that, it's immense, because you've obviously got everything else on top. How did you really, what did you do at the start of everything? Did you just sit down and go, right, I want to go here? Where did what pubs did you choose? What made you choose certain areas and what made you choose certain pubs?
So what I did is I broke it down with how many pubs I can fit in each month, how many pubs I can fit in each week. Then I broke the England, Scotland and Wales down to regions. So I have 12 regions. Was it 12 regions? 12 regions with 9 pubs in each. And then I realized that Yorkshire was quite large, so I then broke it down to 10 regions with 15 pubs each, with three pubs a week, with one being on the fifth. Some of them I had to do 4 in a week. But then what I did from there is I then had to look at the directional flow of which way I was going to go, because I wanted to make sure that I was in the right place, right place for the right month for the seasons. So I had to think, I don't want to be in Scotland in winter, because Hank's a 30-year-old boy and I'm sure he'd be like, yeah, I ain't going anywhere in this.
He's not going to survive.
No. Well, considering that, he took me up a 45-minute road 2,000 metres above sea level up to the snowy mountains in Spain. It took me 5 hours.
God, dear.
But he did it. He overheated many times, but because it was snowing, he cooled down really quickly. So I managed to do a couple of extra yards every few minutes. But yeah, a 45-minute road took me 5 hours. So I know what he's like. He's a brilliant man. He's a Talbot. He's a Swift Contiki Talbot Ducati. So he's built to last, and he knows, he looks after me. He does.
They don't make him like that anymore, to be honest. They don't make him like that.
No, they don't. And I had to think about him. I had to think about him. I had to think about the pubs as well, because it's all, it's not just the food and the drink that I cover. I film the pub, I film the landlord or the landlady. And then, of course, the next day we go out for a walk, we see the local area and, meet and chat to people en route and find out what's going on in the local community. Because that's the whole point. You know, when people in a motorhome or you're visiting a certain area, you're not just going just for the pub. I mean, if you are going for the pub, the info's there, but there's also sights to see, heritage sites and, beautiful places, beautiful castles, things that I can't pronounce. There's,
there's a
castle called, I would call it Belvoir, but it's pronounced Beaver Castle.
So, seriously?
Yeah. It's spelled Belvoir, but it's pronounced Beaver.
I mean, this is what I normally do, because I'm in Essex at the minute. I'm in Colchester. And
I used to live in Romford.
Oh, did you? I used to live in Romford. I tell you what, this is really strange. I went to college in Romford back in the day. Originally, when I came down from Scotland, I moved down to a little village called Abridge, just outside Tegwell. And I used to go to college in Romford. Romford's my previous hangout back in the day.
Yeah.
But which is great about Essex and obviously Suffolk, which is just next to us in the UK. If you listen to this and you're obviously from out of abroad sort of thing, Essex is a huge county. It's massive, and it's a very picturesque county, and exactly the same as Suffolk. Lots of like kind of these beautiful places that are hidden away, tucked away in the middle of nowhere that no one knows about. And yeah. when I like to do, it's me and the other half, we just like to, say in a summer day, we just jump in the car and go driving. And then you
go to the Jolly Sailor. The Jolly Sailor at Maldon. You'd absolutely love it.
I think I've been there, to be honest.
Jolly Sailor. If you want a seafood platter, it's incredible.
Oh, nice. Is that the one with the brown picket fence run about it?
Most pubs have brown picket fences around them.
It doesn't really narrow it down, does it?
I think it's a theme. It's right next to the Black Water Estuary.
Right.
Yes, it's a beautiful place. The estuary is gorgeous when the water's in or out. And it's a stone's throw away from Maldon, so you can just walk around the water's edge. It's a fantastic place.
Do you have to?
If you go to my YouTube channel, you can see a video on it.
Oh, that's a blatant plug. That's a blatant plug there. There you go. Yeah. Love that. I love that. So when you go to the pubs, you have to actually phone up beforehand and say to the owners or the landladies or land people, I don't know what you call them.
The proprietor of the pub. Yes. By the way, you've got to get permission. I have to get them to sign a waiver to state that I can film. I also give them posters as well to let other patrons know that I'm going to be filming. If anybody wants to come and talk to me whilst filming, then I'm happy to interview them. Especially because at the end of the day, I know for me, when I go into a pub and I get that local feel, it's a tight community there, isn't it? So the Jolly Sailor fruit is a perfect example. I was talking to a lady in there who does a dog show. She's also got the Maldon Oars. She's got a sailing club that the local community ladies do, but the dog competition is on every year and anybody can enter. So if you're out and about and you fancy a day out and you've got a dog, you can have a seafood platter and enter your dog in a competition. But I wouldn't have known that if I hadn't have been chatting to the locals that's in there. Yeah. And the locals are what make a pub its own. Mm. And, it's nice to know that you've got good, friendly, easygoing locals in there and you're going to have a good night.
Yeah. Have you ever had any kind of bad receptions from anyone when it's like they're all happy, there's Larry when you get there, before you get there, but then you rock up and they're a little bit frosty, you're not really welcomed?
No, I've never got that. I wear a nice low-cut top, perfect for my videos, to give me a little bit of little peaky bow. I've got bright red lipstick on, so I get a lot of chatting. Yeah. And normally when the guys see me tasting real ales and giving my comments on real ales, I get a few offers out.
Did you really? I bet that's it. They're like, oh, wow, this girl's amazing. Gonna have
she knows her beers. I want her out. I want to take her out.
It just shows you that we're very shallow, A woman that can likes beer, we're sold. We don't ask for much. That's all we want.
Blonde hair, big tits, red lipstick, knows how to drink. Yeah, that's it. Future wife there.
That's it. Wife material right there. So one thing that really I really wanted to ask you, but obviously coming from podcasting background that I've got is whenever I see shows on YouTube or shows, and I'm immediately drawn to how the hell did he actually do this? Now you're obviously going mobile all the time in your motorhome, but you're uploading a lot. You've also got a radio show you're doing as well, which you're doing at the similar. How do you do that? Have you got an internet connection? Or you got a super fast, I don't know, what's the deal there? How are you actually able to upload everything?
I will share a top tip for anybody. So I have a NetHawk router. It's like the M1000 or something. It's about 350 quid's worth of kit, and the signal strength on it's got this amazing booster. It's mobile. You just buy an unlimited SIM card. I've got one £15 a month, unlimited, and if that doesn't work, then I ping it through for my unlimited on my Orange, and between Vodafone and my EE, it's no problem. Really? It's no problem whatsoever. Yeah, one of the issues that I had was I did a lot of my work on my iPad Pro. But the problem with iPad Pro is that you have to upload your footage to Dropbox and then download your footage to edit it, which took a lot of time. Whereas now I've bought a HP Aspire touchscreen laptop. It's one of the best, and it's absolutely fantastic. It's still a little bit disappointing in regards to the microphone quality, but you just get a USB separate microphone that I can connect to my Rode. Yeah, it's easy going. You just upload your footage, stick it onto my external hard drive, and then I let that upload to Dropbox at a later date. And I just and I use Adobe Rush. Now Adobe Rush, it's one of the on the go softwares, because Adobe Premiere is just way too much for me. I don't know how to use it. I mean, my videos aren't amazing, but they do the job, and I do it all on my phone. I've got a Huawei P30 Pro, which is amazing. I've got another Samsung, so I've got one camera on one angle, the other camera is angled down at the food, so I can split between the scenes. And then I add music, I do audio, and then little, I do speech bubbles of Marvin, just to give it a comedy element to it. So, you know, I'm sat there eating some food, Marvin sniffing away, and she'll have a speech bubble pop up saying, "Give me some food, stupid human." And, you know, she says things like that to me. Right. Or she'll say stuff, you know, if sometimes I get taster beers where, so I was at the Geese and Fountain at Croxton, and I got very drunk there. And so they gave me little sample ones. I also did a spin-off in lockdown. I did an episode called Get Squiffy.
Right, okay.
And I was tasting four real ales in my van. I was doing it live on YouTube, which I will bring back.
Brilliant.
And I probably had about 100, 150 watches live, which was quite comical at the time, because at the end of the night, I was very squiffy. I don't even know why I called it Get Squiffy. It should be squiffied. It really should have been. And my descriptions of beers, I'm not gentle, but I'm honest, but in a polite way. So there was one particular drink that I had. I can't remember the name of it off the top of my head, but it said that it had notes of pine. And I was literally describing it, that the smell, the aroma was really subtle. It was like a subtle tropical flavor. And I like tropical IPAs. And then but it's got notes of pine. And then the minute I drank it, I was almost sick because it tasted like a tree. It took a shit in my mouth. And then I go off on this large rant on why on earth would anybody make a drink that tastes like a tree taking a shit in your mouth. I'm spitting out pine needles. I'm going to be shitting pine cones for a week. It's gross. Why make a drink like that?
No. Do you know what? I like real ales. Don't get me wrong. I do like them, but some of them, just like yourself, they're crazy ones. And one time my dad, he lives up in Ipswich. He just lives out in the deepest, darkest ways of Suffolk, and he found that he did the same as me. He went for a little drive somewhere, and he phones me up and he goes, "Ryan," I goes, "I found this pub. It's called the Doberman." And I'm just like, that sounds like a crazy pub, whatever it is, but it's a pub in the middle of nowhere. So what we normally used to do is every Friday, we used to the first Friday of the month, we used to sit down and we have a few drinks and just put the will to write in a random pub somewhere. So I went to his house, my stepmom, we jumped in the car and we drove literally for about half an hour. And I'm going, "What the hell is this pub?" You know what I mean? Don't know where I'm going. End up in this little, small little pub called the Doberman, great little beer. Place, but it had this real ale on there, and I can't remember to the life of me what it's called. My dad says it's amazing, it tastes awesome, but it's proper potent and it gets you proper messed up. And I was like, nah. I mean, I'm ex-forces. I'm like, nah, not at all. I'm ex-RAF. I can do this. I can handle it. All my drink. Game over. I think I had two of them, and that was it. I was game over. I was like, wow, this is like fire water. And I woke up the next morning with the sickest hangover, not remembering what happened the night before.
Yeah.
So if anyone's drinking real ale, be careful, because you never know what's going to happen.
Oh, I had one. I had one when I was in Cleethorpes, and it was 8.2%. Something John. Old John. Something John it was called. And, I ended up going to a party with a random group of ladies and waking up with a butterfly painted on my tits with glitter and stuff, checking my phone. I somehow got these random strange ladies to paint butterflies on my tits with glitter things, just from drinking too much of this old John. 8.2%. Don't drink it.
So you, is that you wake up the next morning and you're going, what the hell happened last night?
Well, I woke up and I went in my bathroom and there was just all this multicolored paint everywhere in water. So I'd obviously tried to have a shower. And then I looked at myself in the mirror and I could see these two little black eyes here. Went like that, took my top off and realized I had sequins. I had little pasties on my nipples still stuck to me. And then I'm thinking, oh, yes, now I remember.
It all comes flooding back.
Yeah, and it wasn't until probably a few days later I was uploading some footage on my phone and I got loads of photos. And I've got this one photo of this lady putting a tongue near my nipple going like that. Yeah, crazy. So, yeah, I don't drink that anymore. Anything over 6%, I kind of stay away from.
Yeah, that's fire water, that stuff. That's gonna end up in bad news, that is. I'm the same. Yeah. I don't like doing that sort of stuff. So you've been round with everything. Whereabouts you've been so far? Because you said you did, you've been stopping and starting. Where have you been so far?
So I've done some in Derbyshire, I've done some in Nottinghamshire, I've done some in Sheffield, I've done some in Leicestershire, I've done stuff in Essex. Croxton, Kerriel, trying to think of them, Old Summerby, I've done Grantham. I'm disappointed because of, you know, for me, I kind of put so much time and effort into getting this tour up and running, that with everything that had gone on with my partner being killed, yeah, I was kind of relying on this to be a road to recovery, as it were, for me.
Right.
And I've had to deal with that in a different way. And it's given me a different perspective as well, because I knew that pubs were going to need some help. And that was kind of like a selfish thing that I was doing in that one sense. Yeah. Whereas my passion was kind of behind that. Whereas now I've had the time, I've had closure. I've moved on. I've developed myself to the point where my passion is now the first thing that's going to be driving me.
Yeah.
And I think that actually gives me more energy. Because there's, and what I want to do also is I don't want to rush things, because 150 pubs, like I said earlier, is just way too many. I really want to be doing maybe one or two a week, because that way I'm not rushing with editing. I can take a week off, finish up what I've got, because I only really want to be pushing one video out a week.
Yeah.
Because, you know, for a 15, 16 minute video, it takes me a good 8 to 10 hours, because I have like 3 hours worth of footage that I have to condense down. And the worst thing is when the pubs want me to stay for 2 days, because when they've got entertainment. I did this one pub, I can't think what it's called. It's on my YouTube channel, and it's the Griffin's Inn, I think. And it's two parts, because one of the following night, there was a guy from the Temptations there.
All
and
right.
He was singing My Girl and everything. And I thought, you know what? I've got to film this.
Yeah.
And the outside space was just phenomenal, because I haven't really filmed much of outside, because I was mainly inside. So I got to do inside on one day, try a load of food. Then I got outdoors, tried the outside space, get the local entertainment. And yeah, it was brilliant. So some of the videos I'd like to do in two parts. But it's like, who really wants to sit there and watch me eat and drink for 30 minutes?
It's like a 30-minute advert, isn't it?
Yeah. So, yeah. But, I absolutely love it. I love what I'm doing. I'm looking forward to doing it, starting back up again in October.
Yep.
It would be great to get some seasonal parties in for Christmas and then really reassess for January to push to get the UK tour back up and running.
So you're going to do the whole thing sort of thing again when everything's back to normal, so?
Yes, definitely. Because I want to be, at the moment, I'm just riding this year out, because I'm not sure what's going to happen.
Mm.
And I don't want to do fall short of what happened last time, where I plan everything and then lockdown 3 happens.
Yeah.
Because we just don't know what's going to happen. So I think I'd rather ride it out, do my thing in October around Scotland. Come and have a drink with you. Oh, you're not in Scotland, obviously.
No,
you're
no, I'm in Essex.
Well, man, you should come back to Scotland, see your see roots, and tell, recommend me some pubs, and I'll go out there, film that, and then get ready for next year. I think 2022 will more than likely be where it's going to be 12 months on the road.
So is that when you're going to do the kind of proper like world record attempt as well?
Well, the record attempt I would like, I can do if I do from Land's End to John O'Groats.
Right.
So that's what I'd like to do. So I could go back to Scotland and start up. There is a pub in Scotland that I'm really desperate to visit, and it's the tallest pub in England. Tallest pub in the UK, isn't it?
Right.
It stands so high up above sea level. I'm just concerned that Hank Jr. won't be able to make it, and that's a long way down when I'm pissed.
True. That's a good point, actually, because some bad things can happen if that's the case.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. I mean, if there's a little train or something that might take me back up, I don't know.
You never know. So, Rebecca, it's been an absolute pleasure. I know you're probably knackered after your garden, so I know you're probably
absolutely exhausted. I really am. I'm dehydrated, so I do apologise that I'm a bit croaky. But I'm going to plug. Right. Let me plug.
Go for
if anybody
it. I was
wants
say.
To watch any of the videos, please do go to A Motorhome Life of Hank and Marvin. It's on YouTube, and if there's any pubs that you guys want to recommend to me, then let me know.
Definitely. Though, as I say, we'll put all the links and everything below in the description, guys, for everything. If you want to join in Rebecca's journey, please do. It's a great cause, and she's having fun doing it. You ever know, next time you
wouldn't.
Exactly. Next time you could watch it, next thing you know, you're rocking up at the local pub. Yeah, you'll be like, I know you. Yeah, I was watching you last night on YouTube. Can I be on your video? You know, that's what that's exactly what I would be doing. I'd be like, can I be in your video, please? I want to be famous. So,
brilliant stuff.
Rebecca, it's been an absolute pleasure. Thank you so much.
Thanks for having me.
It's great for you to, it's a great cause that you're doing. I hope everything goes well up until October, and I'm looking forward to catching up on your YouTube channel and obviously joining your journey through this. So
brilliant.
Thanks again. It's been an absolute pleasure.
No worries. Thanks for having me.
No problems. Take care.
Bye.